I want you to know you're welcome. We're glad, so glad to have you here with us in Sunday school, and we hope that you'll stay, of course, for the morning services here in just a little bit. Brother Dana, I'm going to go ahead and turn it over to you if you're ready.
The Lord is going to get me, I guess. Good to be back in church and fighting off his little cold, and still got a little bit, so I apologize if I cough a little bit, if I sound a little congested, but I've been on antibiotics for about a week now, and feeling really good, just a little congested. So let me get my setup here. Okay. Well, where we left off 2 weeks ago now. Was it 3 weeks? It's been a while. We had done the first half of chapter 7, which is it's a vision that Daniel had much earlier when he was still under Belshazzar. I always get the two names confused. His and the Belteshazzar and Belshazzar, something like that anyways. The king version. And he had the vision back then, but Daniel wrote about it at the end of what I call the Gentile period of the book of Daniel. And so we're finishing up the second half of chapter 7 today. So as we do the interpretation here, it'll be somewhat of a review of what we saw in Daniel's dream last week, or week before last. So we've been using these pictures that Pastor Silcott, I don't know, are you here today, Pastor? No. He had a friend that he introduced us to that drew drawings, paintings to try to help people who had maybe a little bit of a hearing impairment or did better with some kind of artwork to be able to see the stories of the Bible. And he actually tried to paint the stories of the Bible for the visual, for to help visually for those that maybe can't hear quite as well. And so this is a Daniel version. He had done one on Revelation, which was really fascinating. So I've been kind of using the same ones for Daniel as a kind of like a backdrop to what we're learning. And let's see what else I want. I guess maybe just run through these pictures real quick to kind of refresh our memory. This particular dream is very similar to the one in chapter 2, where Daniel had... Nebuchadnezzar had that dream of the statue of the four kingdoms. And this is a very similar one that Daniel had that kind of depicts. So these paintings, you'll see, and notice that they're going to show the in the middle the vision that Daniel saw of the different kingdoms. And the one off to the left is kind of like what Nebuchadnezzar saw. So kind of a good comparison. So here we have the first part of that, which was the head of gold, which was Nebuchadnezzar's kingdom of Babylon. And then we have a lion with wings. That was in Daniel's vision, depicting the same period of time, the Babylonian Empire. And I'll just go through these real briefly. Here you see the chest of silver, and the center one is a bear with three ribs in his mouth. And on to the right, just so you know that for the next two pictures, it's going to depict a vision that Daniel has in chapter 8, which we'll get to next week. Then this is the third kingdom, which would be the one that we're currently getting ready to move into, we just moved into, the Cyrus, the Alexandrian Empire. And you see loins of brass, and it's depicted by a leopard. And then again, the picture to the right would be the vision that Daniel has in chapter 8 of the rams. And then this is the fourth figure, which is going to be predominant in today's lesson, we're going to be talking about the future Roman Empire, and that's what's depicted here. But particularly, the second half of the Roman Empire, I believe, is depicted in the fact that it's going to talk about a future time period where this one ruler will come up. It's like one of the first visions of what will become someday, it's still in the future, of the Antichrist. So let's get into, let me just bring up one more. Vision here that just to bring in our timeline, I will just put this up on the display rather than change my thing up there now, just temporarily. It's easier to see if it's using the whole screen. And this is like a timeline chart, and where we are now is about here. We see Daniel chapter 7. I don't know if you can see my cursor now. Let me get a little bigger. I'm not going to be able to find it quickly like I usually do. There it is. Anyone who follows me during the week, I seem to get into this habit. I never have it ready ahead of time. Okay. So where we are right now is in chapter 7 here. And the and you see here, it just says four beasts. And this is the vision that that Daniel has. Now, I wanted to point out is that the Daniel's in a unique format. It's actually written in two languages. It's written in Hebrew, which was the first chapter here up until the middle of part of chapter 2. Then it changed to Aramaic. And at that particular time, Aramaic was a Syriac language that was predominant in the king's courts of Babylon. And it's interesting at this particular period of all these prophecies here between chapter 2 and chapter 7, or the beginning of chapter 8, all of chapter 7, are in Aramaic, a kind of indicative of a pattern to show us that this is kind of a Gentile period. So next week we'll be moving back into Hebrew. And at that point in time, we've been moving more back into the prophecies talking about Israel rather than the whole Gentile world. So I guess I'd point that out. I lost my camera again. There we go. I'm going to have problems with that today, I guess. We'll see how that goes. So anyways, I think that's enough of a little bit of review. So let's look at this interpretation of the dream. And starting to review those. The original dream was in the beginning of Daniel chapter 7. And I'm just going to run through those verses real quick, and then we're going to move to verse 15. The first was like a lion and had eagle's wings. I beheld till the wings thereof were plucked, and it was lifted up from the earth and made to stand upon a feet as a man, and a man's heart was given to him. Again, that was talking about Nebuchadnezzar. He's already passed now. And behold, another beast, a second, like to a bear, and it raised up itself on one side, and it had three ribs in its mouth of the between the teeth of it. And they said thus unto it, arise, devour much flesh. And again, this is depicting the Mede-Persian Empire, which is currently the one that we talked about 2 weeks ago, that in chapter 6, where Belshazzar was actually removed but from power by Cyrus the Great, and that's when the I'll think of it in a minute. The Alexandrian took over, and Mede-Persian took over. I know I was getting a little ahead of myself. Verse 6, and after this I beheld, and lo, another, like a leopard, which had upon the back of it four wings of a fowl, and the beast had also four heads, and dominion was given to it. This is the future Alexander. And then verse 7, and after this I saw in a night vision, beheld a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible and strong exceedingly, and had great iron teeth, and devoured and broke in pieces, and stampeded the residual with the feet of it, and it was diverse from all the beasts that were before it, and it had 10 horns. And this is depicting the Roman Empire, both the beginning and leading into the end, which is still future yet, in my opinion. And I considered the horns, and beheld, there came up among them a little horn, before whom there were three of the first horns plucked up by the roots, and beheld, in this horn were eyes like the eyes of a man, and a mouth speaking great things. That there is probably one of the first testimonies of what will be someday the future Antichrist, and kind of some of his attributes. He's going to be coming up, we don't know when, sometime during the tribulation. And if you're a born-again Christian, you won't see it because it'll happen after we're gone. Praise the Lord for this, because I don't want to be here for this that period of time. So anyways, okay, now we're moving to the latter half of the chapter. And Daniel, realize we're about 530 BC right now. And I like to think about the fact that Daniel didn't have the advantage we do. We have the entire Bible. He really only had some of the, I just noticed my audio going out is a little low. Hold on 1 second. Test 1, 2, 3. Okay, that's better. Sometimes when I'm trying to run the equipment and thinking and keeping my train of thought on the lesson, I lose it. Let's see. Okay, well, I'll just go back to my notes. So let's just stop reading here in verse 15. I, Daniel, was grieved in my spirit in the midst of my body, and the visions of my head troubled me. And I came near unto one of them that stood by and asked him the truth of all this. So he told me and made me known the interpretation of these things. I remember now what I was talking about. The fact that Daniel didn't have, he probably had Isaiah, he probably had Jeremiah as some of the prophets that had written already. Pretty much the first five books of the Bible. He probably may or may not have known about Ezekiel yet, because Ezekiel was up the river from him. So he hadn't written any of his work, any of his stuff yet. So he's here getting this vision, and I'm trying to think what it must have been like for him to get this vision, going, what the heck is all this about? So here he is, somebody standing by. I'm guessing within the vision there was an angel there that was getting ready to interpret it for him. It doesn't really say for sure if it was an angel, but you don't see any kind of worship or anything. He doesn't make reference to God, so it most likely it's an angel. And I came near unto one of them that stood by and asked him the truth of all this. So he told me and made me known the interpretation of these things. Verse 17. These great beasts, which are four, are four kings, which shall arise out of the earth. But the saints of the Most High shall take the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever, even forever and ever. I'm going to stop there for a second. Saints would be indicative here of us. We're considered saints of the kingdom someday. And I believe that this is actually foretelling this future kingdom of the millennium kingdom. And that and the saints that are being talked about here are going to reign with Jesus Christ in that kingdom forever and ever. And that will be someday in the future after the tribulation, and we come back to earth, and that we are here in the millennium kingdom, ruling and reigning with Christ. But you can see some of these hints here already here in Daniel. And I thought I would just point to some of these that are actually in the future. In Revelation 20, verse 6, blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection, and such the second death hath no power. But they shall be priests of God and Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Paul over in Romans comments about it also. Romans 8, verse 17. And if children, they're heirs and heirs of God. That would be us. and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. Also over in 2 Timothy 2:10-12. Therefore I endure all things for elect's sakes, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. It is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. Also a little bit more in Revelation 1:6. And had made us kings and priests unto God, and his Father to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Revelation 3:21. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me on my throne, even as I have overcome, and am set down with my Father in his throne. And one last one. Such a glorious time. I love reading these verses. It has made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on earth. While watching the events of what things going on in the world today, sure gets us really excited about some of this stuff. At least it does for me. Okay, back to Daniel 7:19. That I would know the truth of the fourth beast. Now, Daniel seems to center on this fourth beast, which was diverse from all the others, exceedingly dreadful, whose teeth were of iron and his nails of brass, which devoured broken pieces and stampeded the residual with his feet. Now, initially, this is the Roman Empire, and it was depicted by the steel legs, as you see in that picture. You see it over here. Or iron legs coming down to the feet that we'll talk about here in a bit. The feet have, talking about the dividing into 10 kingdoms that it talks about. And I see that as not only a present, we're going to mention here in a minute, that the actual Roman Empire broke apart. It wasn't conquered by anybody. So it kind of fell into a period of time where a lot of smaller areas started taking over command, and it kind of broke apart. And that's kind of what's being depicted here. And I found one reference in the historical guide that kind of indicated that the 10 regions that it's talking about in those 10 toes. And this is one of those verses that has dual meaning, I believe. Initially, it did break into like 10 regions of the Roman Empire. And they were the Huns of Hungary. This is all between 356 AD and about 500 AD. The Ostrogoths and Moesia. The Visigoths and Pannonia, the Sueves and Alans and Gascon in Spain, the Vandals in Africa, the Franks in France, the Bulgarians in Bulgaria, the Heruli and Tugari in Italy, the Saxons and Angles in Britain, the Lombards first upon the Danube and afterward in Italy. And so those are the 10 regions that most of the early fathers felt that these 10 toes stood for. I just wanted to mention that. I found that rather interesting. But I truly believe that these 10 kingdoms, because we're going to see some wording here that really tells us that these 10 kingdoms are future. And it's going to be under the control of the Antichrist. And they're not in effect yet, as the verse will say. Okay, moving on to verse 20. And the 10 horns that were in his head, and of the other which came up, and before whom 3 fell, even of that horn that had eyes and a mouth that spake great, very great things, and whose look was more stout than his fellows. That is a real good description of what the future world and let me justify this statement. When I say Antichrist, that we actually have Antichrist even now. The Antichrist is just a term for anyone who is really against or in place of Christ. But there's going to be one true Antichrist that's going to take world power over at some point and during the tribulation. And that's still future. And I see this verse here is really talking about that individual. Particularly the part that says, even of that horn that had eyes, that was could see everywhere, kind of indicative of the fact that we have the ability now to see almost anywhere in the world at a moment's notice. A mouth that spoke very great things. This guy's going to be a really good linguist. He's going to be able to talk people into doing almost anything, particularly if they don't have the power of the Holy Spirit to protect them. and whose look was more stout than his fellows. He's going to be really attractive, I think. He's going to be somebody that everybody looks up to, either in his ability to orate or just in his overall demeanor. So he's going to be well-liked by a lot of people. And that's pretty indicative of the first half of the tribulation. And anyone who's also following me during the week, by the way, the timing is really fascinating, because I'm doing the Olivet Discourse and that study in Luke. And right now I'm getting ready to do the second half of the tribulation starting Monday. So if you want a little deeper look into some of this, I'll be doing that starting tomorrow. And so on verse 20 here, so some things that are kind of interesting about this. I want to make reference of the use of the word horn. Horn in the Bible almost always talks about, it has like a threefold meaning. It represents strength, arrogant pride, and political military power. We got a few verses that kind of reflect on that. Talking about representing strength over in Deuteronomy 33:17. His glory is like the firstling of his bullock, and his horns are like the horns of a unicorn. With them he shall push the people together to the ends of the earth. And they are the 10,000s of Ephraim, and they are the thousands of Manasseh. Then talking about arrogant pride over in Psalms 75, 4 and 5. I said unto the fools, deal not foolishly, and to the wicked, lift not up thy horn, the horn. Lift not up your horn on high, speak not with stiff neck. That's that arrogant pride, you know, that, it's all about me attitude. And then political military power. We're going to get into that more when we get into Daniel 8. Let me just show you a little taste here in Daniel 8, 20 and 21. The ram which thou sawest having two horns are the kings of Mede and Persia. And the rough goat is the king of Grecia, and the great horn that is between his eyes is the first king. So a little hint there of what we're talking about with these horns. Okay, back to Daniel 7, 21. And I beheld, and the same horn made war with the saints and prevailed against them. Okay, again, this is, I believe, is showing future and really depicting the second portion of the tribulation, more than the first half. The first half, again, he's going to be real light. And it, as he proceeds to the middle of the tribulation, which is what we're going to be touching on tomorrow, as it he's going to take over the temple and really come against the saints. And the saints in that particular scenario will be the saints of the tribulation, and mostly the converted Jews who are now realizing who their true Messiah is. And that they're going to leave the temple area in the middle of the tribulation and go and hide in what we've known today as Petra, most of us believe. But this is that, I think this is what this verse is kind of talking about here. He's going to make war with the saints and prevail against them. About two-thirds of, they figure, of the Hebrew nation is going to die during the tribulation. And that this is that one horn that's going to have that kind of power. And so it's some things talking about here. It's just talked about in Revelation 13, 7 and 8. Let me just touch on that a little bit. It was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them, and power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. Now, I just mentioned the fact that it's the Hebrew nation, but realize that if you're still here on the earth and you didn't go up with the rapture, this includes you, just by this statement here. It says he'll have dominion over all kindreds and tongues and nations. This is not, so it's going to include the entire world. His primary focus is going to be the Jewish nation, but there's going to be lots of collateral damage for anyone who's still here. Verse 8, and all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. So all the non-believers, all the ones that did not discover who Jesus Christ really is and who are on the earth, are going to end up worshiping this guy. Back to Daniel 7:22. Until the Ancient of Days came, and judgment was given to the saints of the Most High. And the time came that the saints possessed the kingdom. Ancient of Days, great term. I truly believe that that signifies Jesus Christ. that we know that there's plenty of times in history that he has been what we call like a pre-visitation of him here on earth, even before he was born, and around the when he came to earth as a man. Even prior to that, we know that we're pretty sure that some of the appearances of him did happen during the course of history. And I thought I'd just make a couple of references about this term, the Ancient of Days, depicting God himself, and in this case, I think talking about Jesus Christ himself as a embodied person on the earth. I've always envisioned God as being everywhere at once. He's just, but that that Jesus is actually the representation of God the Father in a more compact, able to actually come to the earth and actually speak with us, actually be one-on-one with us. And we see plenty of times through the period of time of history that he did that. I didn't get to all the verses, but for instance, like when the Sodom and Gomorrah and the two angels and the third person that came with them is kind of a depiction of Jesus coming in a pre-birth state to speak to Abraham. Abraham. And another time, one of my favorite, I always thought about Joshua, when Joshua was getting ready to destroy Jericho. He found a man, he found somebody he didn't recognize, and he, as a good sentry would, he challenged him. And the person said that, take off your shoes, this is hollow ground. Well, Joshua knew exactly what that meant, and that this was actually a period of time when Jesus came to earth. So who actually won the Battle of Jericho? It was probably Jesus himself. So that's where this term Ancient of Days, I believe, came from. Some other verses on it, in Daniel 7, 9 through 11. I beheld, till the thrones were cast down, and the Ancient of Days did sit, whose garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head like the pure wool. His throne was like the fiery flame, and his wheels as burning fire. A fiery stream issued and came forth from behind him. Thousands and thousands ministered unto him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The judgment was set, and the books were opened. I beheld then, because of the voice of the great words which the horn spake, I beheld even till the beast was slain and his body destroyed and given to the burning flame. There's a three verses there to kind of depict what Jesus, when he returns, is going to do to the Antichrist. Jumping over to 2 Thessalonians 2:8. And then shall the wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. And one last one over in 1 Corinthians 6:2-3. Do you not know that the saints shall judge the world, and the world shall be judged by you? Are you unworthy to judge the smallest matters? Know ye not that we shall judge angels? How much more things that pertain to this life? So just kind of some references to this Ancient of Days and how he's going to be in the future. In the future, we're going to be with him, and we're going to be given those kind of powers, the same that he has, to judge. And in this case, judging angels, I'm sure that they're talking about fallen angels there. I don't see any reason to judge the good angels. Okay, back to Daniel 7:23. Thus he said, the fourth beast shall be the fourth kingdom upon earth, which shall be diverse from all kingdoms, and shall devour the whole earth, and shall tread it down and break it in pieces. So as I mentioned before, when the Roman Empire kind of broke apart the first time, it was really only really basically Europe area that, and going into North Africa and over into the Middle East area. Where this verse here says the whole earth, and that these kingdoms, and this fourth beast. So I really think that this verse is really telling us this fourth beast is in two parts, and the second part is still future, when he will have control of the whole earth and tread it down and break it in pieces. And the ten horns of this kingdom are ten kings that shall arise, and another shall arise after them. He shall be diverse from the first, and he shall subdue three kings. Again, speaking of the Antichrist, And I thought I'd just make mention that it mentions the ten regions. There's been a lot of speculation about what those 10 regions are. I don't believe that they exist yet. I think it may be something similar to our continents. But there's only 7 of those, so it can't be the continents. So it's going to be some kind of political regions that the Antichrist is going to have or try to attempt to get control of. And by this verse, it seems like 3 of them he's going to have to destroy because they don't come into line, is what it looks like. So he's going to subdue 3 of these kings. But it can't be anything we know about now, because actually right now there's about, I looked it up, right now on the world list of countries, there's 195 countries. So we're a long ways from 10. So it can't be countries. And the 7 continents, like I mentioned, there's only 7 of those, so that's not 10 either. So it's still future. That's kind of what I wanted to point out on that particular number. And he shall speak great words against the Most High. So this person, whoever it is going to be blaspheming God. And shall wear out the saints of the Most High. He's going to be persecuting all the saints that are still alive in the tribulation. And think to change times and laws. Interesting phrase. That's very curious to me. Changing times. He's going to have some powers that are beyond what we consider a normal human would have. And they shall be given into his hand until a time, a times, and a dividing of time. This is a term we're going to see a lot in the next couple of chapters, particularly in chapter 9 when we get in there. Basically, in Hebrew, when you notice it says time, it's a period of time that's typically of a certain length. So when it says time, that would be the base number. And in this case, it's a year. And then it says times. And in Hebrew, Greek, times almost always means 2. Where when we pluralize, we have a tendency to be 2 or more. Where in Greek, it's not. Hebrew. Signifies 2. So that would be 2. So time is 1, and times is 2. So you get 3. And then a dividing of time. So that would be a half of one of those times. So this signifies 3.5. We'll get into that more when we get into Daniel 9, the end of chapter 9. We talked the famous 70-week vision. And I just thought on this particular note, talking again about these 10 horns, I just want to, it also talks about it over in Revelation 13, 1 through 6. I'm just going to run through that. And I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his head the name of blasphemy. Again, this is signifying this particular Antichrist individual. And the beast which I saw was like under a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him power and his seat and great authority. I won't get super deep into the Revelation terminology here, but the dragon there is Satan himself. And I saw one of his heads as it were wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed. And all the world wondered after the beast. That's the Antichrist. He's going to suffer some kind of a wound. So he's going to be almost depicted like he came back from life. And they worshiped the dragon which gave power unto the beast. Again, signifying Satan, that this Antichrist is going to get his power from Satan. And they worship the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? And it was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies. And power was given unto him to continue 42 months. There's that 3.5 years again. If you figure out what that comes out to in months. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle, and them that dwell in heaven. So, moving on to Daniel 7:26. This is taking a little bit longer than I expected. I run a couple of minutes over. But the judgment shall sit, and they shall take away his dominion to consume and destroy unto the end. This is talking about the judgment of the false prophet. It's also mentioned over in Daniel 2:35. You remember the stone cut without hands. That's what this verse here is. Then was the iron, the clay, the brass, the silver, and the gold broken to pieces together. It became like the chaff of the summer thrashing floor. And the wind carried them away, that no place was found for them. And the stone that smote the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. This is depicted in Revelation also, future date. This is when we come back with Jesus after the seven-year tribulation at the end. This is what's going to be happening at the end there. And I saw an angel standing in the sun. He cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, come and gather yourselves together under the supper of the great God, that you may eat the flesh of kings and the flesh of captains and the flesh of mighty men, flesh of horses and them that sit on them, the flesh of all men, both free and bond, both small and great. These are all the forces of the Antichrist that Jesus is going to have to eliminate at the end of the tribulation. And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse. This particular person sitting on the horse is Jesus Christ, and against his army, and his army would be us. But we ain't going to have to lift a finger to fight this battle. We're all dressed in white. And the beast was taken with him, the false prophet, and wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into a lake of burning fire, burning with brimstone. And the remnant was slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which sword proceeded out of his mouth, and all the fowls were filled with their flesh. So that's, again, future. And I believe that that's what these verses here, this vision that Daniel is seeing, is exactly what he's seeing. I can see why he's a bit confused, because he doesn't have anywhere near the background we do now. Verse 27, and the kingdom and dominion and greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominion shall serve and obey him. So again, this is winding down now to Jesus taking over and setting up his kingdom, the everlasting kingdom. It begins with a thousand-year period, but Jesus' kingdom is forever. It's without end. That initial thousand years has a different tone about it because of having to do with what we're going to talk a lot about when we get into the rest of the book of Daniel, which is really portrayed in Ezekiel. Okay, a couple of verses on, let's light on a great note as to what the future holds. We're in 2 Samuel 7:16. And thine house and thy kingdom shall be established forever before thee. Thy throne shall be established forever. Psalms 89:35-37. Once I have sworn by my holiness that I will not lie unto David, his seed shall endure forever, and his throne as the sun before me. It shall be established forever as the moon and as faithful witness in heaven. Selah. Or in Daniel 4:3. How great are his signs and how mighty are his wonders. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. His dominion is from generation to generation. And over in Luke 1:31-33, the famous words that Mary was told when she was told to Jesus that she was going to bear the future kingdom, the future king of the world. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son. Call his name Jesus. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. Shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. And last verse on Daniel 7:28. Hitherto is the end of the matter. As for me, Daniel, my conscience much troubled me, and my countenance changed in me, but I kept the matter in my heart. And so that ends chapter 7. And I apologize for going a little over here. I thoroughly enjoyed that lesson. I hope you did too. And with a prayer. Oh, thank you, Lord, so much for this great vision, Lord, of the future time period. We know things are going to get a little rough, and we know that it's all necessary, Lord, and we look to you for our strength as the time starts winding down, and that your soon return to take us home comes. Look forward to that day, Lord, so much. We love you, and we thank you so much for all you do. In Jesus' precious name I pray, amen.
gentlemen, let's meet up in a couple of minutes if we can for prayer time back here, men. Thank you.